Folks, welcome to another episode of Życie bez gruchy. Our guest today will be an amazing woman who has been helping mortgage loan officers, realtors and entrepreneurs grow their businesses while maintaining the lifestyle they've always dreamed of. Her name is Jen Duplessis, and over the 38-year career in the mortgage industry, Jen was ranked in the top 200 of nationally ranked originators and in the top 1% for over 15 years. She has personally founded over 1 billion in mortgage loans, and she's recognized as a leader in her industry and number one Amazon best-selling author. And so, Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Jen, we met in Las Vegas, and it was just amazing to, like, I keep telling everyone who I meet, even like when I was in Miami right now, I met with some people from Xerox team, who you know, obviously, and they all told me that, I follow... So, you know, Beth, Casey, Chris, they all told me, I follow her advice, because it's no fluff. So everybody says you're a celebrity in the mortgage space, in the real estate space. But we want to kind of go back to the beginnings. And so you can tell us a little bit of like your beginnings, because probably it was like different time, what was happening there. And now it's changed a lot. So where are you from and what do you do? How do you come to where you are?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I appreciate the question and the opportunity to be able to tell people a little bit about my story, because, you know, all my life I've been told I can't do it, you know, and I tell people all the time, tell me I can't and watch what I do. And, you know, it started off that way as, you know, a young girl. I'm one of 37 first cousins, and I was the only one who was an only child. And so I had a lot of uncles around me that took care of me, and I traveled with them and did. And actually, it was in real estate. They had me cleaning bathrooms and cleaning out their student rentals, you know, and all that. They own quite a bit of property around a campus in Michigan. And, but you know, the thing is, I mean, my parents were, we were just poor. We were poor. My dad was an alcoholic. My mother was a verbal abuser, and they just were consumed with their lives. And so I had these uncles who really raised me. But one of them said to me one day, you know, Jenny, you're not going to make it in this world. You're going to be just like your mom and dad. You're going to be an alcoholic. You're going to be poor. You're just not going to make it. And it's, you know, and that's the way DNA is. You're just not going to make it. And they also called me Jenny who ain't got a penny. And I didn't quite understand it. So I carried a penny around in my shoe. And every time they said it, I said, oh, ha, 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 I have a penny. And I pull it out of my shoe and show them. But it wasn't until later I really understood what happened. And really the tipping point for me at that particular time was I came home. You know, back then you could ride your bike for hours at night and nobody would take you or anything. And I was driving, you know, riding my bike up after playing hide and seek, you know, late at night. And I can hear my mom and dad fighting and thought, here we go again. And walked in and my dad had a shotgun to my mother's head. And that was the change, you know, the day that changed. And I ran into the cornfield and, you know, was just praying that nothing would happen, that I wouldn't hear that shotgun. And, you know, it was cold and the sun was shining, you know, on me. Usually when I was out there praying, because I went out there quite a bit and, you know, and I just said, this has got to change. And from that moment on, most of my life was spent proving and not living. And then I had another tipping point about 10, 11 years ago when, you know, I decided to put me first instead of my clients, and my business tripled. And I have a whole story about that too, but that's where the beginning comes from, you know. And so my whole life, I was just driven to prove to people that things were going to change. And it wasn't until later in my life that I started living and stopped proving. And that's when everything really, really changed for me. But I think it goes back to the very, very beginning. And that is what creates the DNA that I have now.
That's very interesting because I mean, I have a very similar background to you, believe or not. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. add to that that I was growing up in an orphanage, but alcoholic parents, dysfunction, mm-hmm. you know, like as you said, my mother was trying to kill herself a lot of the times in front of me. Like, so it's crazy, but somehow when I was then in the orphanage, I saw those kids with similar stories and they got beaten down by all of those events.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
somehow to me, it was always what you said. It's to prove them wrong. So like take the minus and then transform that into plus.
Yeah.
Whatever I can do.
Right.
So,
right.
So how was it for you? What, because to me, that's the biggest motivation that I have, sort of coupled with the will to, so when I know when I do well, I can go out and help other kids in the orphanage. I can go out and make impact, but until I, you know, create that, nothing will happen ever. So what's the, like the transformation and the point that ticks you really?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's interesting. And I want to, you know, just acknowledge you about the fact that you're already thinking about giving back. And, it, you know, during this whole time that I was having my whole life, it wasn't that I was going to help other people, other kids that were alone. And I had my own issues to contend with, you know, my own issues. And, you know, for me, it was just a constant prove. I mean, I excel in everything, still do, but I excelled because if I was perfect and if I was the best, then mom and dad would love me more. And if I was perfect and I was, you know, runner up Miss Colorado and state champion tennis player, and I played flute and piccolo in the symphony. And if I did all that, maybe he'd stop drinking. Maybe she'd stop yelling. And so it became my whole life's, you know, role. And then when I went into business, it was the same thing. I mean, school was like that, you know, and then when I went into business, it was the same thing. And that's why I excelled so much. But it wasn't for me. It was for me to constantly have that limiting belief that I was worth nothing and I needed to prove it to everybody. And, you know, again, I mean, I was doing that in my business. I was doing about $50 million a year in production, which made me a pretty good loan officer. It had me in the top 1%. But, you know, I was at dinner with my family one night and I took a phone call because that's what we do. Oh, they're more important. And I was outside walking what I call the concrete balance beam, right? Walking back and forth, talking on the phone, walking back and forth. And I happened to look over into the restaurant and my family was enjoying life without me. You know, and they were creating memories without me. And that was the second tipping point that said, I'm done proving and I have to start living. There's got to be a better way to do business without putting me second, right? If I was just as good to my business or to myself as I am to my business, I wonder if my business could grow. So over the next 5 years, I developed, you know, what I call cracking the top producer code that is applied to all businesses. And my business went from 50 million to 100 million, and I worked less, and I had more of a life, and I could enjoy the things that I had in life. And so I think that it is, everybody's tipping point is going to be a little different, you know, in where, you know, how that goes for them. I think that's going to be different for every single person. I think your tipping point is going to be different. And for you, it might be, you know, reaching a magic, you know, financial number. For others, it's just, I've had enough, you know, I just can't do it anymore. It's a physical thing or an emotional thing. And so my advice to everybody is figure out what you're limiting. Why are you doing what you're doing? And if it's because you're being pushed from behind, you know, to excel because you're trying to prove to someone, or you're being pulled because you feel that you're not worth it, you know, take a step back and just figure out what you really want in life. And that's what I did. Wow. And ever since then, life is so much better. Life is so much better. My business is better and my life is better.
Yeah. And so whenever I see your work ethic and how quickly, like we were on a call, after the call, there's not many people. When we finish the call, I get email 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom, connection, yeah. connection, email. We right, do action, right. that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I want to, you know, be more like that. I want to, learn from you. And so two things that I would kind of sum it up. That first point would be to what you've learned, and something that I'm learning as well is to, first of all, find a way to love yourself. Because a lot of people say, oh, my arms are too small. you know, my nose is too big. I'm Polish. I have an accent. I'm not that. And a lot of the times, like, I was beaten up with complexes, you know. I was in London, so there was a lot of Polish, what do you call them, plumbers. And then, you know, and I was at the construction. I was working at the beginning of the construction. And so I was like, whenever I would go, I was like, I'm the Polish plumber kind of mentality, you know.
Right.
And that wasn't that. So that was that constant complex that I go to British people, I go to someone, you know, there, and that there's this constant inferiority concept. So because you're not good enough. So first of all, love yourself. And then second of all is what you said. It's kind of with the proving. So not to prove to others, because I was similar. I wanted to prove to my parents, my family that, hey, even though nobody has finished university, even though no one has ever believed in me, even though no one has ever, like, you know, kind of became not normal, but like go out there, like go out the way. And they were stuck into like their alcoholism. And I think that's to this day, I'm not in touch with them. But the point is to prove to yourself, love yourself, and then prove to yourself every day.
Yeah. And that's
so
why
that would be like how it's.
Yeah. And that's why I say is like, tell me I can't. Go ahead. Tell me I can't.
Wow.
Because I'll show you what I can do. Right. And, you know, and that's become really my mantra is, you know, I can do anything I want, but now I'm doing it on my terms. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm just doing it to show the resilience that I have. And continue to have.
So I see also a lot of what I'm learning, but it's very difficult because rejection hurts to all of us.
Yeah.
Donald Trump gets turned down when he asks for money. So, but as you said, when you learn and then kind of make it habitual to transform that rejection into the fuel, like Xerox's rocket fuel, the setback concept is very, very,
I know.
Very
well,
good,
it's funny.
Actually.
Yeah, it's funny that we're, yeah, that we, again, you know this with him, you know, we laugh about it because I've had my launch, you know, propelling your business to new heights and fueled by intensity is my tagline for my company, Kinetic Spark Consulting. It's all about the fuel. You know, I'm fueled by the intensity of which I can work. And people are always amazed at how much I can get done. But I get more done than most people get done in a week. You know, I get more done in a day than most people will get done in that whole week because I am fueled by that intensity. That setback, it is a setup for great things in life, which is something that another coach says. And, you know, that's what I live every day. I live every day. I'm a woman. They tell me I can't do it. I'm now older and they tell me I can't do it. Right. People tell me you can't have all these businesses. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And I do them very well. So just keep telling me I can't and I'll continue to show you what I can do.
What you just said is so powerful. What you just said is so powerful. Wow. I have goosebumps when we're recording that. So,
hey, I'm Jennifer. I can have goosies.
Goosies.
J-Lo goosies.
We have some goosies here. Yeah. J-Lo goosies on this podcast. Jen, let's go to another question because you are also a very good public speaker. Like you're very organized. I watch you and you're very organized. You get to the point. Unlike me, which I'm terrible. Like, you know, I constantly get stuck. I miss my points, but I'm learning. So I'm on the way, but I see you like, I met you, notes, you're taking notes. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. So structure, but you know, you're a great public speaker because not only you practice a lot and then you've been through a lot, but you've performed on stage with true legends. So such as Darren Hardy, Tony Robbins, Les Brown. How did it all get started? Were you a very good public speaker, you know, from the get-go?
You know, I don't know. I think you know, somebody else asked me this question and it's actually something I'm journaling about is trying to find where this all kind of started. You know, I've never been an introvert ever. So I think that helps, right? I've never been an introvert. You know, as an only child, I needed to, you know, stick my hand out and meet people and say, hi, I'm Jenny. Hi, I'm Jenny, right? And because otherwise I had no one else to play with, right? except my stuffed animals, which is a whole other story. But you know, they all had names, they had to have friends, like the whole thing, because that was all I had. So I'm always an, you know, always been that, but for whatever reason, I also became very much a performer. You know, in high school, I was a pom-pom girl, which is now dance team. You know, I played flute and piccolo since I was in fourth grade. So, you know, I've always performed in that capacity. And when I got into the mortgages, to me, that was like the next step is I like people. And I thought, well, I love sharing my wealth of knowledge because I'm a life learner. And I started educating and teaching realtors. That's really where it started. And that just blossomed into many other opportunities, BNI. And, you know, people would say, hey, can you teach us this? So it really was teaching rather than speaking for a long, long time. And then as soon as I became, you know, one of the top 200 in the country, out of 785,000 loan officers, right?
Wow.
Then I get calls saying, well, how'd you do it? Can you come and share? What'd you do? And I started getting on stages, and then it was just a natural progression. Meeting with there's something I do in my business called the Great Retrace. And so if I go back all the way to the Great Retrace, it really starts with a meeting with my daughter, who has really propelled everything, because she knew a guy, it's National Association of Professional Mortgage, or I'm sorry, National Association of Minority Mortgage Bankers of America, NAMBA. She knew Tony and said, hey, let's go to lunch. And Tony needed a speaker. And when I went there, I met Mark, and he was an author. We had an author's corner. He had just put out a book. I had just put out Launch. I met Mark. Mark introduced me to Allison. Allison introduced me to Dave. Oh, gosh, I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, he does Speaking Empire. He's one of the top sales guys, you know, in the world for speaking. And introduced me to Dave, and he taught me a few things. And then Allison reintroduced me to City Summit, which is where I met James Dentley, who is best friends with Les Brown and his mentor. And then James introduced me to Les Brown. And then I spoke on the stage, and then Les Brown approached me and said, hey, could you be on my speaking staff? And I mean, it just perpetuates. On the mortgage side, I always did something in Vegas called Mortgage Mastermind. And I was speaking with Tony Robbins and Darren Hardy and Magic Johnson and Barbara Corcoran. And, you know, had the wonderful opportunity to sit with them behind stage and hang out with them. And it's just really blossomed into these beautiful opportunities, you know, stages from, you know, 50 people to 5,000 people. Doesn't matter to me.
Right. As long as I can impact one person, I'm happy.
Wow. And I wanna, because, you know, the stages and the speaking engagements are great for networking. And that's something that you mentioned, you know, you went somewhere, someone introduced you to someone else, and that someone else introduced you to that person that you eventually, you know, had the opportunity to take you to like bigger stages. And so I want to stop here for a moment, and I want to go back to the chat that we had before we started.
In the green room, yeah.
Amen. And then I want to ask you, because there's a lot of fluff. I was in Miami, and then I hear constantly the same messages, you know, like the motivation, you know, emotional, like, and stuff. But at the end of the day, I was there because I've learned already, like I've been going through those events as well. And I've learned already that the only thing I'm going there for is what you said. So other person can introduce me to that person, and then I can, you know, present my product and create a relationship, and then impact them, give them value, right?
Right.
So if you could like briefly tell me about the fluff that's around there, what would you advise the listeners when they go to those conferences? What should they do?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, this happened, you know, I've heard this story years and years ago, and it's not even just conferences, just little networking events. And people say, well, you know, I've tried networking and it doesn't work. So here's why networking doesn't work. Most of it, there's actually five steps to networking, and most people focus on two, which is I went, I saw them, gimme, 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 gimme. Now they know what I do. So gimme, 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 gimme. Right. The whole purpose of networking is to identify potential partners so that the two of you could work together to grow your respective businesses. That's what networking is about. That's what's going to these conferences. Yes, you're going there to learn. Hopefully you're applying the knowledge, which I find most people don't do. They're knowledge accumulators, you know, and we call that, there's a funky word for them. I won't say it, but it's just funny because it's like I always akin it to, a squirrel that's eating and has his mouth full, and all you're doing is, you know, a drowning in your saliva because you've accumulated so much, but you're not retaining it. You're not consuming it. And that's what I see with people going to all these events. It's, you know, take a few of the things and apply them and stop. This is why I always say, stop talking, take action, get results, right? But when you go to networking, there's multiple levels of this. People don't work. We all know this in sales. People work with people they know, they like, and they trust. They might know who you are because they've seen you bopping around. They might like you and kind of, hi. But they will never work with you until they trust you. And you can't trust anyone until you know who they are. Not what they do, but who they are. Which is why I said to you when we were in Vegas, let's sit down. Let me find out who you are. More about you. I want to learn. So be curious. Be curious. So when you go to networking, it's not about what you got. It's about what you give. And when you give, the natural law of reciprocation happens, right? Or reciprocity. So it's asking people, you know, and identifying, could we be potential partners? Instead of me being in my own little boat floating around here, right? And going in circles with my one oar, and you're going in circles with your oar, and they hit every once in a while, and business flops into your, you know, fish flops into your boat, and you go, thanks, let's do it again, sure. And then you go on your merry way. Let's meet, let's sit down and have an adult conversation about how we can get in the same boat and row toward an equal goal, right? To support one another. And you've seen that with me. I'm not just talking about this stuff. You've seen it with me. I am much of a giver. Yes. What can I do to give? What can I do to give? And in giving, the natural law of reciprocity happens. And people want to help you back too. And and it only works if we align. If we align in the products that we offer, the services that we offer, it can't be forced because it'll never happen. So that's the first thing about networking is go there with the intent to find one or two people that you can take that relationship to the moon. Not everybody there. If you're looking for a referral partner or partnership, you're just looking to go there and sell. The problem with going and selling is I used to experience this all the time. You know, I go to a networking event and there's always a Mary Kay lady there. Right? Someone's selling Mary Kay. And she'll come up to me because I'm a woman. I go, hi, have you ever tried Mary Kay? Yes, I've tried Mary Kay. In fact, I used to sell it. I said, but, you know, and she said, well, do you want to have a party? Let's have a party. You can make some money. Or do you want to come in on the side and be a little side gig? No. Could you imagine as a loan officer, if I went to a networking event and said, hey, Martin, it's Jen. How are you? So do you own your house or are you renting right now? Oh, that's really cool. So let me get your social security number. Let me get your birth date and let's fill out an application. Come on, let's do a loan. Gimme. Come on, let's do it. So I don't care what your business is. It's to say, here's what I do. Sure. Here's what I do. This is who I help. This is what I do. But not buy, sell, but rather, hey, let's sit down and see if this is a good fit. Let's see if we have some common interest in working together and supporting one another.
Jen, I think you're going nationwide. I think you're going nationwide with your advice, with your grit, with your coaching, and with the hustle that you have. I mean, I think the best days are yet to come you're so sharp. That's what it is. One thing that I want to add to that, and then we'll go to another one, is because I when I was going back, I tried to kind of like reflect on the event. And so one of the things, and I told you about it before as well, was not even one person approached me at the event. And there was 500 people. Mm-hmm. They were talking to each other, right, in groups.
Right.
I was going, you know, and approaching people because I'm learning and I want to basically stifle the fear. Mm-hmm. The fear is always there to go to people and introduce yourself, but I wanted to like stop that. So what do you make of that? Why people go there and no one approaches me. So, I mean, is it something wrong with me or
yeah, no, no, it's not. It's something wrong with other people, because I think what people do is, so let me give you a perfect example, a story. And I know, you know, these, you've probably heard this story before, but if you boil water and you put a frog in it, it will jump out. It knows, don't want to be here. But if you put a frog in cold water and you slowly heat it up, he will die because he's not aware of his surroundings. So when I see people that cluster like that in these sort of cliques, you know, and I get it because I know the event you went to, and when you're at that type of event and there's a Facebook group and you're starting to know these people and recognize names, you want to be pulled into that, right? But you already know them. You've already had the opportunity to have a one-to-one with them in Zoom or in live or on the phone or whatever. You, if you haven't taken that online relationship offline and you waited to this event, well, there's a problem right there, right? So the first thing is take those online relationships and move them offline and say, hey, let's meet. Let's do a Zoom. And it, yeah, go up and say, oh my God, it's so great to finally meet you in person and touch and feel you, right? And I get to see you. But you're not there for them. You're there for new relationships. Those relationships already exist. So when I see people like that, I think of them, I feel bad for them, because I'm like, oh, you're a frog in a, you know, in cold water and it's heating up and you're not even realizing that you're killing your business by communing with people that you already know when you're in this environment,
right?
Go to dinner with them, yes, but look around. Who else can you meet? That's how you expand your business. So no, it's just the lack of understanding. There's such, like I said, there's five different steps to networking, and most people use two, and it's all about them. And so the whole with them, you know, what's in it for me? No, I mean, I know it's a lot for you to go over and shake a hand, and I mean, we all hate it, right? But, and I think it's just part of that organization too. I think it's a little clicky, and I think that's part of it too, you know?
Yeah. I was standing at the back of the room on purpose.
Watching.
I didn't want to go and sit there. I was standing, and whoever was walking out, you know, I was just standing and say, hey, hello. And I was making eye contact.
Right. Hi.
After the whole day, after the whole day, you want to puke.
Yeah.
That's something that I can tell you.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, like, you know, like different, what do you call them? Signals that you receive and your brain after the whole day.
Yeah.
But the satisfaction is amazing.
Yeah.
And then it just tells me that's, I think that's good to go and then, you know, use that event as much as you can, because you're there anyway.
Yeah.
You've heard the conversations, the speakers, etc. So now, you know, use it.
Yeah, now you want
it's the last drop.
Yeah, like every bit of juice out of it. You know, one of the things one of my colleagues, actually I mentioned her name already, Allison, but one of the things that she taught me, and she may have learned it from someone else, who knows, but is to use a process called PEG. And I actually use this process not just in networking, but in a lot of decision making in whether or not, or what my next business is going to be. And it is passion, experiences, and gifts. Right? Passion, experiences, and gifts. So when you're meeting with someone and talking to them and you're saying, hey, Marcin, hi, I'm Jen. How are you? Well, so tell me a little bit about yourself. You go, oh, I'm this, that, and the other. Okay, that's really good. So tell me, you know, what are you passionate about? You know, and what you do, or just what are your passions? And so now what's happening is that you're starting to learn who they are, because the typical person is going to say, oh, thanks for asking. I'm this stereotypical thing. Like, I'm a plumber. And so the receiver goes, okay, so what is my stereotype of a plumber? Right? Crack in the butt. My plumbing is going to, you know, it's broken, right? Well, there could be many dimensions to what this person does, but they ruined it by saying what they do, not who they are. So if you were to truly ask me, you know, and say, hey, what do you do? And I'd say, well, you know, thank you so much for asking. I'm known as America's Mortgage Mentor. And what I do is I help real estate agents, mortgage loan officers, and sales professionals who are feeling overwhelmed and dealing with chaos on a daily basis and sacrificing their personal lives for the sake of their business to overcome that and multiply their results in record time. And I do this with my savvy way of communicating and with vivid imagery that I use and with my 38 years of experience bringing that to them so that they can have the life they never thought of. They can actually live their legacy while they're building it. What do you do? Hi. I'm a plumber.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. And so I don't let anyone stereotype me and peg me into anything, which is not the peg, but peg me into anything. So I like having the conversation of, you know, what are you passionate about, Marjan? What are you passionate about? And you, oh, I'm passionate about, you know, this, that, and the other. And so why is that? I mean, what experiences have you had in life that drew you, you know, to come into that passion that you have? And while they're talking about it, the G is the gift. Because if you ask me what I'm passionate about, I'm going to say to you, dance, right? And watch my face change when I talk about dance.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that's a gift. It's like, I love the way you smile because of your passion. I love that you do that. Or my passion is now helping people who are told that they can't. And I'm learning. And I, how, why? Because that was my experience. And so it becomes my gift. It becomes the thing I'm very, very passionate about. And then I smile about it and I talk faster about it. And now you're getting somewhere with relationships. Now you know who they are, not what they do. And that's not
that
how you
energy,
quantify
that also it's...
Yeah, it goes up. Yeah.
So the emotional high is so addictive as well when you actually... when you talk to people and it's becoming like,
right, well,
you know, kind of snowing
ball
effect.
Yeah, like I'm a plumber.
You know, it, versus, yeah. Then, hey, yeah, so thank you, right, so much. You know what I am is I'm a domestic water flow person or something. And you go, what is that? Well, actually, it's a plumber. But let me tell you why I'm so good at it. Right?
Right.
And that's, that. Yeah, and that's what changes the energy and changes the dynamics and watching those gifts of those people and complimenting, oh man, I can see that you are so passionate. It's all over your face and your cute little cheeks became more little cheeks. And, you know, just your whole body language changes when you have that. And that complimentary approach to it now starts having people go, well, let's learn about you. Tell me about you. But mm-hmm. if I go in there and I throw up and show up and throw up all over everybody, no one's going to want to work with anybody with me.
Correct. Yeah, I agree
and,
100%.
And it's just a big vomiting thing all over the place. Yeah.
Take interest in them. Become interested and become interesting, kind of.
Yes, right, right. That's exactly it. I would say right. Be curious.
Yeah. So... let's go to another question because you are also the author of the book Launch. So now we're going to talk about your passions and then the book is about how to take your business to new heights. So could you tell us, you know, what's the book about? You share some of your stories, tools, strategies.
Yeah,
there.
No, I'd love to share that with you. You know, Launch was... you know, for years and years, I tried to figure out what is the name of my company, right? It's so funny because I was always talking to people and going, what, you know, when you see a rocket ship and you see all that combustion on the bottom, right? I didn't want to name my company Combustion, right? But I was saying all the combustion's happening. And the moment that it departs, right? That millisecond that rocket ship leaves the ground, right? I kept saying, what's that called? And people would say momentum and propelling, motion. And I said, no, it's not any of that stuff. There's something. And I happened to be at dinner with one of my clients one day and she said, oh my gosh, Jen, that's simple. That's kinetic energy. And I said, what? Really? It can't be. And she goes, yeah, it's a movement of mass to motion, right? That's what it's called, kinetic energy. And I said, it can't be. And she said, I'm telling you it is. Well, here's why it couldn't be. So I got in the car and I called my husband and we're high school sweethearts. We went to high school together, you know, we've been dating since we were both in 10th grade. I was 14, he was 15.
Wow.
And we've been married 38 years coming up here in July. And I called him and I go, get out our yearbook. I was voted the girl with the most kinetic energy. Movement, movement, wow. Movement, action, 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 yeah. Action, right? I said, well, that was divine intervention. You know, so I said, I'm going to call my company Kinetic, but I can't be energy. So he said to me, he's a semi-pro drag car racer. And he said, well, you need a spark. You need a spark plug to make something go into motion in a car. So we said, oh, kinetic spark. And I'm all sparkly and whatever. So my personality is all sparky. And so I said, well, oh, that'll be perfect. That'll be perfect. We'll call it Kinetic Spark. So when it came to write the book, I said, well, okay, so now what is it? It must be launch, because I've had Kinetic Spark for 18 years now. It's got to be a launch. I'm going to launch people's businesses. So it really became, it's a how-to book, because this is a frustrating thing for me too, not only networking, but this part too. And I said, stop talking, take action, get results. We originally were going to name the book that. But before that, I was going to name it Shut Up and Go Do It. Shut the, you like know what, that. French toast up. Shut the French toast up and go do it. Because I'm so sick of people yik-yakking about getting stuff done, and they don't follow up with anything. This is why I follow up all the time. And so it was like, you know, we all know what we need to do in business. It's the how that we have the problem with. And some people will say to you, don't learn the how, learn the what or the why. This particular book is the how. And so it's just laid out the saying, okay, you need to network. What do you say? You need to call clients. What do you say? You need to do that. You know, the great retrace is in there. The outline of what I was talking about for networking is in there. And that really is what it was. And I wanted it to be a book that had dog ears and you know, sticky notes and everything on it. And people run up to me when I'm speaking at events with their book to show me all the paper clips and all the dog ears and all the mess that it's in. And I absolutely love it, because that's what I wanted the book to be, is something that you could look at every single time. And now I'm writing Tell Me I Can't. That's my next book. We're in the middle of writing that right now. It should be out here probably midsummer.
I love the title. And so let's talk about your next book. What's it about? Obviously, we've kind of... Yeah. In the background already, so they probably know more or less. But before that, I want to kind of go a little bit on the meta level and look at the content creation. So what I see people like yourself do, not only you have the structure, the experience to share, you know, and then that's already, you have the proof for that, but now you go out there and then you create, you distribute your message, which is, you know, I see people do that and I'm thinking maybe there's too much of that content. But then I, you know, sit down, for example, with someone so great like yourself, and then I get that. Like, I get that why to create that content. So if you could tell me a little bit, don't you feel sometimes that you have to repeat all the time and distribute that message all the time, and that just never ends? And it's kind of like a vicious cycle. Yeah. I don't know how to say that exactly.
Well, as a speaker and a coach, I mean, I regurgitate some of the same things all the time.
Now, I also am growing all the time. So I always have new information, new content. I wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh my gosh, that's what I want to say. You know, like, for example, you know, I believe in living your legacy while you're building it. Why would you build your legacy and then die before you could live it, right? Mm-hmm. So let's live it at the same time. And that's really what my whole practice is about, is having that lifestyle business mastery. But you know, it took some time to figure out what that was going to be, but the basis of everything doesn't change. Sometimes the way I deliver it, you know, does, but you do have to regurgitate it. And here's why. And yes, as a speaker, I say, oh God, they've already heard this before. They have sometimes, but they didn't hear that point before, even though I've said it, they were ready to receive it. And so now they go, oh, I've never heard you say that. Yeah, I've said it. It's like when you've watched a movie five times and you're like, I missed that, you know, the other five times, because you weren't ready to receive it. So that's one of the reasons that we have to kind of regurgitate all this content and, you know, really hone it in. But for me, I get really frustrated because I feel that I'm able to take complex things and make them very simple, but I can't do the work. I don't consider myself to be a motivational speaker. I consider myself to be an inspirational speaker, someone who inspires people to take the action, which is the motivation, right? And so I don't know if that answers your question or not, I mean, it's obvious, because people come to me all the time and they're, you know, I was just talking to someone the other day, 20 years in the mortgage business, and has never funded more than 4 loans a month for 20 years. And at 20 years, that person should be doing 20 or 30 loans a month. Mm-hmm. And it's not a choice. I mean, for her, it could be a choice, but for her, it wasn't. It was, I can never get past that. And we dig down deep in it, and it's that she knows everything. She's been to everything. And she's a kind of a know-it-all. Like, she knows it all, but she doesn't do anything to put it into action.
There people are sitting on their assets. So let's kind of take it as a segue to your second book.
Okay, now, well...
Do you think you're going to repeat some of the stuff?
I think there might be some stuff in it. So let me tell you, it's completely being ghostwritten.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It is a fiction book. It is not nonfiction. This book behind me is nonfiction, but it is a fiction book. It is a story about a woman, right?
Yeah.
who is always told that she can't. And she just... you know, over time, she shows other people how they can do things better. And, you know, it's a story about women, for women. You know, 80% of all books that are purchased today are women. Women read more books than men. So we wanted to focus it in on women. I wanted to make sure that it had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with mortgage and real estate, because this is where I'm being pulled for my next season. And, you know, we just decided that, hey, it was going to be a fiction book. So it's post-pandemic, you know, it's about a town that has, you know, is given up because everything had to shut down and everything. And this woman comes in and she says, you know, hey, I can help your town. I promise I can help you when you're down and out. I promise I can help you. And she starts doing things and people keep saying, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. You can't. And she shows them how that she does it. So woven into that story are the things that I've done that are resilient. I believe it's an inside job. Everything about being resilient is an inside job, you know, that no one can tell me I can't do anything anymore. I may struggle to do it. I may have to overcome obstacles, but I don't believe that I can't, that nothing is possible anymore. Everything is possible. So it's a story about that kind of triumph. And there's a little love interest in there. Of course, my husband's like, hopefully that's me. And I go, yes, it's you, but we're changing all the names. But yeah, it's going to be a fiction book about it, but it's for people to be inspired that they can actually overcome anything.
Right. So I just had a Polish marketing legend, in a way, on the podcast. And we were talking about, because his line to fame is that he earns money by telling stories, and that's how he helps businesses. And I see you've used the story.
Oh, I pretty much storytell everything.
Right?
Yeah.
So how, could you tell me from your experience working with people and just for yourself, what are the stories and how do they impact in your opinion? Like, do you think it's better to act the stories or tell them very naturally, or add spice in their
act them out? You mean to truly act them out?
Yeah, act them out in a way to relieve them in a way.
To make your point. Well, it's funny you say that because
we're going to be in production. We're pre-production now. We're going to be in production. I'm starting a streaming TV show. A streaming television show with James Dentley, and Les Brown is supporting it.
You see, you're going nationwide. I predicted that.
Yeah, and I already knew. It was funny when you said that. But I mean, I've pretty much been nationwide anyway nowadays. So they approached me about doing a TV show. It's going to be called Tell Me I Can't. I'm interviewing people of all walks of life that were told they can't because they were too short or too tall or too purple or too, you know, brown or whatever. They were a woman who is married or isn't married, or a man who is or isn't, and too short, you name it, but too big of feet, not smart enough. And we're going to do all of these interviews for people all over the United States about this. And that's why we wanted to name the book the same thing, so that it could kind of go in there. But eventually, we don't know that we're going to have people take us back to the moment that they were told that they couldn't, right? And kind of paint the picture of that moment. So if you can imagine a moment of my uncle looking down on this little blonde haired mess. I always wore dresses, but my hair was always a mess. I didn't get a bath, but maybe once a month. And it just a mess, just a messy little girl, you know, and telling and hand me trying to hand him a penny, right? To say, don't go, I'm not Jenny who ain't got a penny, right? And so our hope is that we eventually take this to the point where we're doing dramatizations of that moment for the person, mm-hmm. and then coming back to the forward for them. So we are going to act it out, but in some cases, we're just going to have to be able to walk us through, you know, that story, that storytelling piece of it. And, you know, we're just really excited. And the book is being written in a way that the ghostwriter who I'm working with very closely, I mean, he calls me like 10 times a day. And you think I talk fast. Sometimes I don't even know what happened. I'm just know that he called me and I'm off the phone with him now. And he's like, okay, got it. Bye. But he writes books that then go to Hallmark TV shows. So that's how we're writing the book.
So
that's exactly what I predicted was going to happen. I can smell that really, because I know you, I know you, and I know what you're capable of.
Well, thank you.
And then when you can feel the energy, like when you look someone in the eyes and then you see them and then you see the actions, you can smell it.
Yeah.
So
Well, thank you. Yeah. So it's not ego. It's not money. It's not fame. It's none of that stuff. This is me wanting to give back. I say this in my book launch, you know, is that I believe that we learn, we earn, and then we get to the point where we want to return and we want to give back. And that's where I'm at now. I'm being pulled to share these stories so that people can be, it's whatever over triumph, you know, whatever you were told and now you triumph.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that in that sequence, mm-hmm. because the millennials, they got it the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think that you first return.
Yeah. That I have to give. Yeah. 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 You have to learn, earn, and return. Yeah. And that is true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just want to stress that we make sure that we follow the sequence. So thank you for that, Jen. Last question regarding your podcasts.
Yeah.
You have two podcasts. You have over, 70,000 people subscribing to you?
Well, I don't know what the number is now. You know, when Apple Podcasts first came out, when iTunes came out, you used to be able to know how many subscribers you have. And I think there is some websites that you can kind of sneak through. They're little black market websites to find out. But last time that I had heard, it was about 4 years ago. We had 45,000 subscribers in Mortgage Lending Mastery. And of course, that was 4 years ago. So now I'm speaking and, you know, that was just natural. And now I've been out, you know, talking. So we have had a lot of people listening to that, you know, and that was my way of giving back is people would call me and say, hey, can I ask you a question? Can I pick your brain? And eventually I was picking more people were picking my brain during the day and less business was being done. And I said, there's got to be a mechanism and mm-hmm. podcasts were new. And so I said, to ask a question, let me give an answer. And so I just love sharing, you know, new ideas. I'm always moving and shaking and finding new things. And that's that podcast. The other podcast is Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, because it was my story too, is I had this beautiful career that was very successful, but it was my identity. And when my identity went away, I was like, well, now what am I going to do? Right. And I knew that I was heading towards being able to give back and make impact on others who are in sales and entrepreneurship and stuff. And it really was, well, now what am I going to do? Life after I've broken through all these glass ceilings, and they're not just money or women's ceilings. These are all ceilings that we all break through. And really, what has turned now into Tell Me I Can't.
Yeah, I love, again, I love the title of that book. And then I look forward to grabbing a copy of that. Jen, thank you very much for your time. I've told you that many, many times, but
I love you.
I see
much.
You're like mother to me.
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling me. I said, Martin, you can't tell me. But no, it's good because I love being here for you and being here, you know, to support you and your business.
And I got red. I know I got red. I'm very red now, but you know, I'm. Because you're not my, you know.
Right. I'm your business mommy. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, you know, and I think, you know, whatever I can do, and you know this, I say this every single time we're talking, is always let me know what I can do to help. And, you know, I don't believe in a period method, right? Like, you helped me, I helped you, period, done, thanks, bye. I believe in dot, 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 dot. Now what? Now what? Now where we can go? Where can we go? Who have you met that I haven't met in the last month? Because we have to go back and explore that. Could we be introducing ourselves to more people? So it's not a picture in time. It's a journey. Relationships are a journey.
Yeah. So I'm learning from you. And I want to finish with something that you taught me. And I picked that pattern. I don't know, whatever that was. But you said something when I met you. The first text was, I look forward to a long lasting relationship with you. Mm-hmm. Now I take that whoever I meet,
yeah,
and I feel the energy. Hey, I look forward to a long lasting relationship with you, because at the end of the day, I'm not interested in selling a faceless, you know, product of the like Facebook, whatever. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
We want to have those connections. We want to have, you know, the energy exchange.
Yeah.
So I thank you very much
for
that. Appreciate you. And then where do people go to learn more about
you?
Yeah,
just Jen Duplessis. I'm pretty much everywhere is Jen Duplessis, jenduplessis.com. And, you know, just go there and reach out to me. I'm really great at responding to everybody. So that's probably the best way to do it. And, you know, and I just, I also want to say, so April 9th, I'm having a success sneak peek summit. And we're just doing a little one day, a real short day. Like, I think it's noon to six, a short day. We're doing just a success summit. You know, and I'm going to be talking about PEG. That is one of the things I'm going to be talking about, because it's becoming more and more popular. Not so much about the networking, but also what do we want to do with our lives? You know, because I use it in a different context. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some other things. So, you know, if anybody's interested in that, just go to my website and we'll have information on there as well.
We'll link that, and I'll also repost on our social media. And then and one thing that I want to finish, the amount of energy you're pushing is just...
I know, it's a little overwhelming, right?
I predicted. No, it's not overwhelming. It's actually something that I see, like the millennials, and then most of the people that I see, you've mentioned that, they're like those frogs. They're dying, you know, during their lifetime. During their life, they're dying. They're not living.
I'm jumping out of the water constantly.
Yeah. So one more thing. I predicted on this podcast, Jen Duplessis is going nationwide with her message, and the amount of people that she's gonna reach is gonna be Tony Robbins, you know, is gonna be looking for, you know, as a fraction.
Well, I don't know if I have that energy in me to do that. I mean, maybe I do, but
you do,
you know,
it's predicted on this podcast. I'm waiting in the future when we come back to this podcast, say, okay, that crazy Polacko said that. That crazy Polacko said that. So I look forward to that, and I'll be supporting you with all the strength I have. So, Jen Duplessis,
thank
you very much for your time. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Życie bez gruchy. Jedyny życiowy podcast w Polsce stworzony dla geeków.